This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
All right. Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, go with me to the book of Exodus 14. Exodus 14, I have a word from heaven for you. So Exodus 14. In Exodus 14, I'm not going to read all of it, but in verse 12 it picks up. This is a discourse between God and Moses. Now Moses is going to lie. Moses is going to say something that's not truth. And then God is going to rebuke Moses. Now many churches have quoted Moses as truth, but the next verse shows that God had to rebuke him. So watch this. In verse 12, "Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, for which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians that you see today, you shall see no more forever." Okay, up until now, God's cool with what Moses said. God's totally fine with it. Then the next verse, Moses says something that's not truth. "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." The next verse, God rebukes Moses. God says, "And the Lord says to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel, go forward. And you lift up your rod, you stretch out your hand over the sea, and you divide it. And the children of Israel shall go over on dry ground in the midst of the sea." Hallelujah. Amen. So here in this verse, Moses has a religious idea. How many of you know not all religious ideas are truth? Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, tickle your neighbor in the ribs. Say, wake up. Come on. He's got a word from God for you today. Man, y'all were shouting about a marriage. Come on, somebody, shout about this here. Come on, right? I'm excited, though, for you. Congratulations. All right. But the Bible says, he that's found a wife has found a good thing. So the guys should be shouting the loudest. Come on, sis. Come on, talk to me, right? Amen. So, all right. But so here the scripture says this: God turns this thing around. Now, Moses starts off with a religious idea that is not truth. Some religious ideas that are preached as truth, though they are preached as truth, the Bible does not back them up. Come on, somebody, right? Like you've heard people say, God helps those that help themselves. That is not in the Bible. Okay? And so some of these things are religious things that are said, but they're not truth. Well, here, Moses said, the Lord's going to fight for you. You're going to sit back and have a Coke and a smile, and you're going to do nothing, and God's going to do everything. Verse 15, God says, why do you cry to me? You do something. What do you have in your hand? God says to Moses, he says, you have a rod in your hand. You lift up your rod, you divide the sea. Come on. So God said, I'm not going to fight for you, Moses. Everything you need is already in your hand. Come on, prophesy to your neighbor. Say, everything you need is already in your hand. Some people say, I have a need, Brother Tom. I have a need. I have a financial need. Well, everything you have is already in your hand in the form of a seed. It's already in your hand. You already possess everything. When Jesus said, seat the multitude down, we're going to feed everybody, more than 5,000 people, they said, all we have in our hand is a little boy's lunch. Come on, somebody. Is that right? Jesus said, that's more than enough to feed a multitude. Why? Because that was what was already in their hand. And that's regarding the same thing is true regarding divine healing. Is one of the first things that we see throughout the scriptures is this. Is we see that God gives to man authority. The very first thing God gave man, Adam in the garden, is found in Genesis 1. So go with me to Genesis chapter 1. So Genesis 1, I'm just going to read verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our what? In our image. So now we are made in the image of God. You're not made in the image of evolution. You're not made in the image of an animal. You're not made in the image of an orangutan. Come on, somebody. You're made in the image of who? God. Okay, so we're made in the image of God according to our likeness, right? And let them have, what was the very first thing he says? Let them have what? Dominion. So the first thing God gave man in the garden was authority. Come on, look at your neighbor, say this. Say, the first thing God gave man was authority. Okay, so that's the first thing he gave him. He said, let us have dominion over what? The fish of the air, fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over all the creeping things that creep even on the earth, right? And God created man in his image, and in the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. That's the second time God repeats himself in three verses. He says, subdue it and have dominion over it. Come on, right? So the very first thing God gave man in the book of Genesis was authority or dominion. The first thing God gave the new creation in the New Testament. Jesus, one of the first things that he gave his disciples, the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, and he gave them authority. Right? Everyone say authority. So one of the first things in the New Testament that we were given was authority. So we've been given authority over what? Over demons, over sickness, and over disease. Come on, right? And so once we have that mindset, now healing becomes an easy thing instead of a difficult thing. I said healing becomes an easy thing, right? So now there are 10 things that I wrote down. Now, if you want, you can write these down. There's 10 things. These are 10 truths I wrote down regarding divine healing that you must have a revelation of, okay? The very first thing, I'm going to flip it around from the way I wrote it. Number one, the very first way that we know that God wants man's body to be healed is God created your own body to heal itself. Is that true? So if God wanted us sick, why did he create our bodies to heal ourselves? You cut yourself, and what happens? It begins to start to heal immediately. Is that true? It just shows God's heart, and he wants his people healed. He doesn't want us sick. He doesn't want us in pain. Come on, right? That is not the will of God. God has given mankind, he's given believers dominion and authority over sickness and disease. And so if he has so done, then one of the ways that we know it is even in the human body, he has created our bodies to heal itself. Hallelujah. The second thing we know is this. One of the other truths I wrote down is that at the cross, sin and sickness were paid for at the same time. It was not a second occasion that God says, oh yeah, I have another thought. Well, this is just for certain people that have certain anointings and certain giftings and stuff. No, no, no. The same day that your sin was paid for. How many of you believe all your sin was paid for? Come on, not very many convinced. Huh? How many of you know all your sins are paid for? Oh, okay. Same Jesus, same cross, same day, sickness was paid for at the same time. Come on, right? So the second thing that we know about divine healing is what? Is that sin and sickness were equally looked upon as an enemy of the believer. And so since they were an enemy of the believer, they were paid for on the cross. Number three, if you want to write this down. Number three is that God's promises. All the promises of God are what again? Yeah, isn't it funny that all the promises of God are not yes and sometimes no? No, no, no. All the promises of God, you said it, are what again? Yes and amen. So if you wonder God's will about something, God already gives you the answer before you have the question. So before you have a question regarding sickness in your body, God's already given you the answer. And the answer is yes, yes and yes. Amen. Right? So the third thing that we know about divine healing is this, is that all God's promises are yes and amen. And the fourth thing that we know about divine healing is this, is that God loves the sick so much that he went and sent Jesus to the earth. And so for 3.5 years, what did Jesus do more than anything else in the Gospels? He healed the sick. He actually healed more than he preached. How about that? He healed more than he preached and he taught. Why? Because he was demonstrating God's heart to the sick and to the hurting. Is that right? Jesus constantly, from Matthew chapter 4 onward, I mean from Matthew 4 onward through the rest of the book, I mean, you just constantly see Jesus healing. In Mark chapter 1, right from the beginning, you see Jesus healing. In Luke chapter 4, you see Jesus healing. In John, you know, right in chapter 2 onward, you see Jesus healing, right? We never see Jesus come to somebody and say, it's not my will to heal you, but it's my will to heal you. So he doesn't have favorites. Come on, right? So he's no respecter of person. Why? Because he paid for all of our sins and all of our sicknesses. So number four is that God loves the sick. God loves the sick. Number five is this, is that we see Jesus' example. I'm kind of running them together. Number five is Jesus' example of his thoughts regarding sickness and disease. So what did Jesus think about sickness and disease? Did he ever find a sickness he liked? Did he ever find a disease that he loved enough to just leave it? And did he ever find someone with physical pain that he said, "Woo, I'm getting so much glory out of this pain"? Oh, come on, talk to me here. Somebody say it out loud. No, never one time do we see Jesus saying, "Woo, I'm getting glory out of this. I'm getting glory out of their pain." I had a woman come to me in California and she said, "I prayed and the Lord told me I'm getting glory out of your pain." And I said to the sister, I said, "Well, let's pray that you get more pain." She didn't like that idea very much. I said, no. Let's ask that the Lord give you a double portion of the pain so that you can glorify God even more. And she's like, I don't want to do that. I said, no, why don't you want to do that? If it's glorifying God, then let's double this sucker. Come on. Guess what? She didn't believe it either. She knew it was a bunch of junk. It was a bunch of religious junk. Come on, right? And because many people are stuck in religious mindsets and thinkings and traps, they have a different philosophy. Their mindset regarding healing is different. On the one hand, they'll say, "God wants me sick," and the next day they'll go to the doctor. How do I know? I've met them. They come to meetings and say, "Don't pray for me. God doesn't want me to be healed." And I said, "Do you go to the doctor?" "Well, of course I do." I said, "Well, wait a minute. If God wants you sick, why are you trying to get out from underneath God's sickness? Come on, talk to me or somebody. That doesn't even make good enough sense. I mean, even the devil's not that stupid. Come on, somebody, right?" But see, when you break these religious mindsets, at the same time, what you're doing is you're stripping the power of them from the people. Amen? So some churches I have to go to, God sends me to some very difficult places to minister where they have different mindsets regarding divine healing. And in fact, I even went to a Bible school. My first Bible school I went to two different Bible schools. The very first Bible school I went to, I ended up constantly in debates, even with the professors, because they were always pro-sickness. And I would just bring these common sense things up. If God is wanting you sick, then why are you going to the doctor? Why are you taking medication? But even your own common sense says, God doesn't want me suffering with sickness. How many of you know God doesn't want you suffering with sickness? Amen. And that's why he has empowered us to walk in holy dominion. He has empowered us to walk in dominion, that we take authority over sickness, not just in our own lives, but even in the lives of other people. And the moment that we begin to do that, a demonstration of the love and the power of God begins to take place. Because if you're not convinced of it, then guess what? Nobody else is going to be. Because listen, think of it like this. If you're not convinced that if somebody calls on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved, then it's difficult for you to have faith for that person. Come on, right? So we have to be convinced ourselves, not just of eternal life, but also of regarding divine healing, right? So we have to be totally convinced it is God's will to heal me. Amen. And that's why I tell people, listen, you know, just have a mindset, you know, this morning that when I lay hands on you, that you're going to be instantly healed. Begin to look for the cup half full, not half empty. Begin to look for healing that is starting. I could feel it in my body. And instead of saying, well, you know, like one guy I prayed for him, he goes, it's not all gone. I said, well, how much better is it? He goes, 75% better. I'm like, well, then rejoice over the 75 instead of complaining about the 25. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. So it always begins in dominion. It always begins in authority. You have to look at it in a mindset, not that we're on an equal playing field with the enemy, but instead that we're in a superior place. We are in a place of what the Bible calls sonship. Sonship, that you and I are sons of God. I know ladies say, I'm a daughter. No, you're not. The Bible calls you a son. If I got to be the bride of Christ, you got to be a son. So suck it up, all right? I don't... Come on, guys. If we got to be a bride, the lady's got to be a son. So come on, right? So the Bible calls us all the sons of God, the highest place, in a higher place than even Adam ever walked. We are in a higher place where the Bible says we're seated with him in heavenly places. Where is Jesus seated? The Bible says we're seated with Christ. Where is Jesus seated? The Bible says at the right hand of God. So guess where you're seated? You are seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You're at the highest seating place that there is in all of the heavenlies. Now the moment that I begin to minister to people along this lines, and it's a shift and a change in their minds, all of a sudden they begin to realize, then that means the devil is already underneath my feet, literally. I'm not going to put him under my feet. Jesus put him under my feet. My praise is not going to put him under my feet. The blood of Jesus put him under my feet for all of time and history. Hallelujah. Amen. And so now I'm not trying to fight the devil. Jesus already fought him and defeated him. Why do I need to? Amen. Because it's a mindset change. It's a mindset difference. And the moment you begin to have that thought process, all of a sudden everything begins to change. I remember one time we were in this church in Ohio and someone brought this lady and she was dying of cancer. And there was just such depression. The whole family was depressed. She was depressed. Everybody was depressed in it. The whole church was depressed. Everybody was down. It was as if they had already buried the woman. So I said to the woman, I said, are you still alive? Yes. I said, okay. Well, then it's not over. Come on. I got the answer. Right here. This is God's will regarding sickness concerning you. I said that God is going to heal that cancer and wipe it out of your body. And you're going to be healed. She began to cry. And she had breast cancer. So I went and I prayed for her. And I said, and this is what I said at the end of my prayer. I said, Lord, let her feel the difference in her body even by tomorrow morning. The next day, she called the church and she said, I went and I looked for the tumor and it's gone. Come on, somebody. That was 9 years ago and she's still alive today. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. I mean, I could tell you of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other testimonies of people that we've prayed for and we've just seen God just do an incredible a miracle in their life, one after another, after another, after another. I could tell you of some in South Africa. We ministered in South Africa and someone brought this person and they were lame. This this guy, he was a crippled for many, many years. He was lame. I forget what it was that he had. And I just picked the guy up off the ground. I just picked him up, and he stood up, and I ministered to his hips and his legs. I said, "Brother, your legs are going to get better as you walk. Come, let's walk." So we started to walk, and at first, as I started to walk with him, he took the first step, and he went, ah, the second step, the third step, and by the fourth step, the pain left, and he was healed. Come on. Everyone say dominion. Amen. That's what God has called us to. He's called us to live a life of spiritual dominion, a life of spiritual authority. Amen. I remember we were ministering in Florida, in northern Florida, and someone brought this woman with a broken neck. And if we had time, I'd show you a video clip of this. We have the whole thing on video. And this woman came. She had a broken neck in two places. She was a prison guard, and someone took a bunk bed in the prison and pushed it off, and it fell on her head, that bunk bed did, and it broke her neck. She was just a little thing. And it broke her neck in two places, and she had this neck brace on, and she was on painkillers and stuff. And so I'm just about ready to start preaching, and I look out, and I see the woman sitting here about halfway back, and I see tears running down her face. And all these tears started running down her face. I said to the lady, I said, "Listen, I said, do you want to get healed now or at the end of the service?" She says, "I want to be healed now." I said, "Well, come on then, let's do this thing now." So she comes on down to the front. I went and I just laid hands on her neck. I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command your neck to be healed." I said, "Take it off. Let's see what God's doing." So she took the neck brace off. Took a minute. And she gets this neck brace off and she twists her neck and she screams. And she starts running laps around the church. Come on, somebody. Totally healed. Totally healed. Hallelujah. Everyone say dominion. So I want to give you another scripture. Go over to the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, again, chapter 1. Now I want you to look at this with spiritual eyes. Now you've probably read this before. But I want you to look at this with spiritual eyes, not just at the printed page, but look in the white letter, white in between the black letters, if you understand what I mean by that. So in Genesis 1, it says this, verse 14. Then God said, "Let there be lights." Let there be what? Lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the light from the day, the day from the night, and let there be, let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night, and he made the stars also, right? So I want you to look at this as a prophetic picture. Now, but before I go into it, let me just say this. The greater light we call the what? The sun. And we call the lesser light the moon. Okay. The moon has no light in it. Is that true? All it does is reflect the light of the sun. Is that right? The prophetic picture is Jesus Christ is the sun ruling the day. And the prophetic picture is the church is the moon ruling the night. Come on, somebody. So the first commission that God gave to the sun and the moon was to rule, was to have authority. Amen. So it's a prophetic picture to you and I that Jesus is ruling the day, but the church is supposed to be ruling in the night. Amen. That's our prophetic calling. That's our destiny. That's what God has called us into. Now go over to Romans, I think it's chapter 5, Romans 5, so in Romans 5, the Bible here talks about it again, in Romans 5, it says it here, verse 16, "For the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came on one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of what? Righteousness will what? Will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. So if you've received the free gift of eternal life and the gift of righteousness, the Bible says you are called to rule and to reign. That sounds like dominion to me. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, the Bible calls us kings and priests. What does a king do? He rules, right? He doesn't ask somebody else to do it. He does it. Is that true? Right? So guess what? God looks at you as a king and a priest. What does a priest do? He ministers to God. What does a king do? He rules over the people. He ministers to the people. Is that true? Right? So that's what God looks at you. God looks at you through the eyes of you minister to God, yet you also minister to the people. But you do so with authority. You have authority. And the moment you start to have that revelation, all of a sudden, the scriptures begin to come alive. Jesus did not pray for anyone to be healed in the New Testament. He never once prayed for someone. He didn't say, oh God in heaven, would you come down and would you heal this sister? No, the Bible says he spoke to the sickness, get out. He spoke to the lame person, rise and walk. He spoke to the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. Is that right? He spoke to the deaf man here. Amen? So why did he speak like that? In fact, the Bible says the Pharisees were mad because they had never heard someone speak with authority. Come on, right? So that's what they said to him. That's exactly what they said to him. And so now I want to give you these other five things regarding divine healing. What other five revelations do we have regarding divine healing? Well, number six is you cannot mix faith and unbelief and call it balanced. You cannot mix faith and unbelief. It would be tantamount to this. They brought me up this spring water. It would be tantamount to bringing me a bottle of spring water and then putting just a little bit of a capful of sewage water in there. Now, how many of you would drink that water? Even with just a little bit of sewage in it. Would that? No, you don't say, well, I have to be balanced. I don't want to be overboard here with just spring water. Come on. And that's tantamount to some people who say, well, I have a little bit of unbelief and yet a little bit of faith. No. The Bible says if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak. In other words, if you have mustard seed faith, you will have dominion and authority. Come on, right? Not to God, but to the sickness or to the disease or what or the demons or whatever it might be. Amen? So that's number six. You cannot mix faith and unbelief. Come on, tell your neighbor that. Say, you can't mix faith and unbelief. Okay, number seven. What do we know about, what's another thing we learned about healing, even this weekend? Well, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by God's word, right? So you have God's word. I said you have God's word. If you don't have a Bible, talk to the leadership and they'll probably get you one, okay? But you can just go online and have a free copy of the Bible, amen? God's word. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you can build your faith up. How do I get greater faith? You get greater faith by what you hear. If all you hear is sickness, disease, and all you do is just watch the news, I'm telling you that faith doesn't come by hearing the news. Unbelief comes by hearing the news. Come on, right? Okay? So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, right? So, but we also said last night, confidence in God's miracle power. Now this would be number eight. The eighth one is this, is we know that confidence comes by doing. Confidence comes by doing it. Everyone say, just do it. All right. So confidence will grow only by doing it. And so you've just got to, you know, it's just like the kid who's going to ride a bike. He can read all the books and watch all the videos and go to school and get a diploma on riding bike. But at the end of the day, the only way he's going to get confident in riding a bike is what? You got to just do it. Come on, right? So he's just got to get on the bike. The same thing is true regarding ministering healing to people. If you don't ever do it, then guess what? You're never going to have confidence. Come on, somebody. If you never do it, you're never going to walk in any kind of confidence that God wants to heal. Hallelujah. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So some people are like, I'm not very good with evangelizing and sharing Jesus and winning souls. Well, that's because you don't do it. But the moment you start doing it, all of a sudden now, you instantly walk in confidence. Amen. Come on. How many of you want greater confidence? Come on, somebody. Amen. Okay. You get confidence in anything, especially in the kingdom of God, every time you just unbuckle your seatbelt and say, all right, here we go. I'm going to do this thing. No matter what. No matter if it hair lips the devil and his cousin. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to just go for it. And if I strike out, then I strike out. Right? You just got to be willing to fail. And just the moment you begin to do that, it's just like the presence of God. God just begins to minister. There's a prophet, this prophet I know from Los Angeles. And one day he went to his favorite coffee shop. And he went to go to his favorite coffee shop. And he said, I went to go get my coffee, and he said, I turned around, and there's this guy in this real nice suit. And he said, Lord, I'm going to go prophesy to that guy. And that, you know, that guy's going to get saved. So he said, I walked over to the guy, and I began to prophesy to this guy. I began to say, is your name James? The guy said, no. He said, well, are you involved in insurance? He said, no. He said, do you have like a sickness in your body, in your stomach, in your digestive system? The guy said, no. He said, do you live down in West Covina? The guy said, no. By the fifth time, he was like, oh, Lord. He said, I gave him five wrong prophetic words. And the guy said, why do you ask me these questions? And he said, I wanted to say, because I'm a Scientologist, okay? He said, just to throw him off, you know what I mean, or something. He said, I was so embarrassed. He said, well, he said, I'm a prophet, and I hear from God. And he said, I'm not hearing from God very good today, I can tell. But he said, I still practice hearing God's voice. And the guy said, wait a minute, you believe God speaks today? He says, yes, I do. And the man said, would you sit down with me and explain this to me? And for 45 minutes, he explained from Genesis to Revelation how God has always spoke to man. And at the end of 45 minutes, the guy was bawling his eyes out and accepted Jesus with five wrong prophetic words. Come on, somebody. He said, I got in my car and I said, Lord, I gave that dude five wrong prophetic words and he still got saved. And he said, the Lord said to me, he did not hear the prophetic words. All he heard was love. That's all he heard, is that love was coming out of your heart. You were trying to help him. That's all he heard. And that's why he got saved. It's not because the word was right or not because this particular thing happened, but it was because the love of God was coming out of your heart. Come on, somebody. Amen. So that was number 8, right? Okay, so when Jesus went, number 9 is this. When Jesus went and ministered to the leper, he forever gave us God's answer regarding sickness. The leper went and said, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Is that right? He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus went and said what? He said, I'm willing. He said, I'm willing. So forever, now Jesus could have said, well, for you, yes, but others, not so sure. But no, what did he do? He went and said, yes, I am willing. That's who I am. I am willing, right? That's right. He just went and he ministered healing to that dude right there. And that guy saw forever that what God's will was. And so all of us, when we read Mark chapter 1 about the leper, when we read Mark chapter 1 about the leper, now we know God's will regarding sickness and disease. So that's number 9. Number 10 is this. Is number 10 is the serpent on the pole in the Old Testament. How many remember that, right? So the serpent was put on a pole as a prophetic picture of Jesus on the cross. And the Bible says when Moses raised it up in front of the people that were dying, when he raised it up, the Bible says if they looked at the serpent on the pole, the Bible says they lived. Come on, right? So as we begin to look, as we look by faith at Jesus on the cross, and we see our sicknesses there, as well as we see our sin there, the Bible says that we'll be healed. Come on, right? So that's the 10th thing. These are one of the 10 revelations that we see in God's word about divine healing for all of us. But it's that place of dominion that the Lord wants to take us. It's that place of dominion. It's that stepping into that realm of dominion of the Holy Spirit. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is a word from the Lord for all of us to say, listen, God's first thing he gave Adam in the garden, dominion. The first thing Jesus gave the disciples, dominion. The first job God gave the sun and the moon, dominion. And so guess what your job is? Is to have dominion. You have dominion on your job. I shared some of this at a church out in I think it was Atlanta. And a lady went into her boss the next morning. She said, I need a meeting with you. So he said, okay. So she sat down. She said, I want to talk to you about the raise you're going to give me today. And her boss started laughing like you. And so as her boss started laughing, for 10 minutes, she began to tell him how she loved that company, how she believed in that company, how she prayed for that company. She prayed for her boss and stuff. And at the end of 10 minutes, her boss went and gave her a 20% raise just because she had dominion. Come on, somebody. How many of you say, I'll take that today? Come on, anybody? How many of you want an extra 20%? Amen. So hallelujah. Everyone shout dominion. So God asked Moses, he says, why do you cry to me? What do you already have in your hand? Moses says, I have a rod. God says, you divide the sea. All you have to do is stretch it out. Just stretch it out. Don't keep it to yourself. Stretch it out. In other words, have dominion. Take authority and begin to see God's hand move. Amen? Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you today in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for revelation of the scriptures. How your word comes alive in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the power of your kingdom. We live in a kingdom where a king rules. The book of Ecclesiastes says, where a king's word is, there is dominion. Lord, that's who we are. You are the king of kings. We are the kings. You are the king of us. And you're the Lord of lords. And so, Lord, we thank you right now over every single person that's here. We thank you for your goodness and your presence. If there's someone here today and you've never been born again, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, and God's tugging your heart this morning, or maybe you went and backslid, you went back in the world, and God's calling you back today. If that's you, I want you to quickly raise your hand. If that's you, quickly raise your hand. If you need to rededicate your life or be born again for the first time, I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We give you glory, Lord. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.